Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Clint McPherson, and today we've got a very special guest on the show today. He's the founder of Pacific Capital and the author of the best-selling book, Stress-Free Money. Before I introduce our special guest today, though, I want to remind you to subscribe to our podcast and to our mailing list through our website so you don't miss out on all the free resources we have to help you start and grow your business. With that said, I'd like to welcome our special guest today, Chad Willerson, to the show. How are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. Exciting.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And I appreciate you wanting to be part of this and part of our journey. Everybody we have on our show, I think you're, we're dropping episode like 92 tomorrow. And we keep going strong, man. And we just keep getting valuable people like yourself on to just share the word and share the message. And it's pretty encouraging.
Anything that helps entrepreneurs is right up my alley. So that's who I live to serve. So
love it, my man. So Chad, I mean, can you take us back to your entrepreneurial, where your actual entrepreneurial journey started and what it is about, what it is about entrepreneurship that gets you fired up, and why is entrepreneurship something that, you know, that you're excited about, brother?
So in 2011, I had already been at the big corporation. I was working at Wall Street Bank, Merrill Lynch. I'd been there 9 years. And I just felt like it wasn't the place I wanted to spend my career. Although before I thought I'd never leave, but you know, after the Great Recession, there was a lot of changing in the banking industry and in Wall Street. And it was like, I just felt that I was in a tug of war. And on one side, I was pulled to do what's best for the big corporation. And on the other side, it was like, what do my clients need? What do I want to tell these people, these families that depend on me? And so I had to make a choice, and that choice led me into jumping into the entrepreneurial life. And I wasn't the kid who had a business growing up. Like, that wasn't my thing. I wasn't a born entrepreneur. I kind of just decided I've learned a lot. I can do this. You know, I know what's my clients need and want. And it was a little scary. I was 32. I had a few kids and a mortgage, and I was leaving like a cushy corner office with lots of corporate perks, lots of applause on stage, lots of trips, all these things that the big Wall Street bank was giving us. And I left that to totally start from scratch. And I can say that it was the greatest move of my life. I was thinking about it because we're about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary next month. And it was like, we've tripled the business that I had built at Merrill Lynch, and had a lot more fun doing it with a lot different people that I could hire on my own, you know? So that's 2011 is really when it began for me, and I've never looked back.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good. I mean, that's an inspiring in itself, right? Because you're torn one way or the other, but then you make the best decision that ends up, you know, catapulting you and driving you forward. And when you look at it, you know, and I can see your, you know, the Pacific Capital signage you have back there, you know, being featured in the Wall Street Journal, you know, U.S. News and World Report, Financial Advisor Magazine, Forbes. I mean, those are all high profile in themselves, right? And then it just shows you that, you know, it could have been something small for you, but you're taking it and driving it, man, and making it, like you said, tripling your business. And that's awesome, man. That's very inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we don't take that for granted at all. It was a big leap of faith. The biggest challenge, people ask me on podcasts, like, what was the biggest challenge when you got launched? And really it was not having that big cushy corporate name on my business card. So I didn't have the big backing of the Merrill Lynch bull and the Wall Street bank that had 100 years of history. It was like, who's Pacific Capital? You know, what's your backing? Who do you work with? And I kind of had to start over and prove myself to clients and potential clients from scratch. And so being able to build a brand and a reputation has really been awesome.
That's awesome, man. I mean, That in itself, man, like that's just the true drive that shows that when you want to make something happen, you can make it happen. And Absolutely. So as an entrepreneur, that's a big message in itself, right? A lot of us get in our own headspace, own timing, mess things up. We're our own worst enemy at times. So we just got to get out of the way and understand that there's always that other end of the spectrum to where it's like, hey, once we figure this out, once we know where we're headed, I mean, it's all going to work out, right? And you just got to know
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't know, I would say this, you don't have to know how you're going to get there. You just have to be fully invested and fully committed that you're going to get there. Like map out your goals and your vision for your business and decide that you're going to burn the ships and take over the island. Like you're not turning back.
100%.
And eventually the way will reveal itself. Like stuff will happen. And like we've averaged 19% growth a year for 10 years at Pacific Capital. But this year is a massive year. We've grown, you know, over 70% already this year. And it's like, how did that happen? I never could have seen that happening. We set big goals on January 1st. And we exceeded them by double before August was over. And we were just committed to the goals. And I think as an entrepreneur, you kind of have to take that risk and that leap of faith and just say, you put it out there. This is what I want to accomplish. I don't know how I'm going to get there.
Right.
Like, I don't have that all mapped out, but I know I want to get there and I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, for sure. And I think laying those goals out gives you a clear vision and something to strive for, right? Without doing that,
Absolutely.
You're just all over the place, bouncing around. You're never really getting anything done. I think Elon Musk said, you know, if you set a specific time to do something, you're gonna take that amount of time to do it, right?
Yeah. So he said, I think it was like, if you give yourself 30 days to clean the house, you'll take 30 days. If you give yourself 3 hours, you'll take 3 hours.
Exactly.
So the lesson is really like shorten your deadlines for yourself and you'll get more done. Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, the first chapter in Stress-Free Money, I talk about the biggest obstacle to financial freedom is not having clear goals. Zig Ziglar said, you can't hit a target you cannot see, and you cannot see a target that you don't have. So if you don't have a target, you're shooting arrows in the middle of the forest and you got nothing to aim for, nothing to measure. You got to have some goals and targets for sure.
Right. I mean, that's why they call it target practice, right? Like you got to get out there.
Exactly.
And lay the targets out and you strive to hit them. And once you figure that out, man, it's almost like you have the key to the door. You open the door and you walk right through it. But then at the end of the day, there's always another obstacle going to get in your way or another goal that you're going to have to set. Because if you just achieve that one goal and you're satisfied, that's fine. But again, man, you're not embracing the journey and not embracing all the obstacles that get thrown in your way, right? I mean, you got to be able to sidestep. You got to be able to maneuver. You got to be able to pivot, especially in a time of like something like COVID. You got to be able to unlock those doors and also have that clear vision of what door you want to walk through, right? Like if you get four options, you're like, you know what? You know, through my market research or my analysis is like, I'm going to actually stay to the left or to the right because this is where my path's directing me right now. And if you know that and you have those targets and goals laid out, man, it makes your journey in life a little more easier because, again, along the way, you're going to establish SOPs for how you're doing specific things inside your company and for the people that are working for you. And it just makes life so much easier.
And I'll share a quick story since we're talking about pivoting and adjustments as an entrepreneur.
Awesome.
My primary business is Pacific Capital.
Okay.
And so we manage wealth and do financial strategy and investing for entrepreneurs. That's my primary business. That's what we do every day. That's what I've done for 20 years. On the side, I'm invested in a business that is a sports complex, a facility in Southern California that hosts sports tournaments for kids. So travel basketball, travel volleyball, club volleyball, and cheerleading and events like that. So in California, when COVID happened and we basically couldn't host gatherings or social events or large team tournaments, like our business was totally shut down. And we're talking about almost an 80,000 square foot big building in Southern California, which is not cheap.
Not at all.
It's super expensive to keep that thing going. We had to decide, like, what are we going to do? our business, our revenue making sources are gone. Like we can't host teams, tournaments, practices, nothing. And so we had to pivot, and it was like, either we're going to lose our business or we better figure something out quickly. And so we decided that we were going to turn our big gym into a tutoring center and school for children of essential workers, kindergarten through 12th grade, which was a pretty cool. There was like an opportunity in the California law that said you can host in-person tutoring in school for children of essential workers who have to go to work. And so it was like first responders, hospital workers, and other essential workers. Their kids still had school and they didn't want to leave them at home alone. They're in first grade or fifth grade or whatever. So we set up a tutoring center and had all these kids going to school for 8 months on their laptops or iPads. And we had tutors helping them get through school while their parents were working. Saved our business.
Yeah.
Like now we're back hosting tournaments and doing things. But having that adjustment and making that pivot kept our business going when we really could have lost everything.
Yeah, man, that's huge, especially identifying a need like that. Because again, man, over here in North Carolina, it's the same thing. Essential workers were still sending their kids to daycare if they could. But a lot of people were told to go home. And outside of the essential workers, who's essential, who's not. And it's
right.
Sometimes that becomes a pain in the butt, man. And so it's just one of those things to try to juggle and figure out. It just made it so much, something like that is so beneficial to have, and something like that for you to identify that and still be able to utilize your building, even though, you know, at the time it wasn't for that, but it's still helping kids. Right. And so that's the cool, that's the cool connection there. That it was like, you know, it's not like we can't host practices anymore, but we can still utilize it for what it is meant for. And that's for the youth or even if they're older kids or whatever, you can still utilize that for tutoring sessions. That's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great
thank
story, you. Brother. So, I mean, we touched on Pacific Capital for a second, but what sets your business apart and how can you help entrepreneurs get a grip on their financial situation, my man?
So you've heard the phrase probably like trust a chef that eats what they cook.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm not going to go to a personal trainer at the gym if they don't exercise and they don't eat healthy, right? I want to go to someone who's actually demonstrating what they're going to be teaching me. And so I think what our clients really like as entrepreneurs is that I'm also an entrepreneur. Our clients invest in real estate, in private businesses, in the stock market. And so do I.
Right.
So I'm giving advice from experience. I've built businesses. I've grown things to be worth a lot of money. And so when I'm giving advice, sitting across the table from an entrepreneur, I'm giving advice from experience and not from some book I read or some course that I took online. So I'm also a certified financial fiduciary. So everyone on our team are certified financial fiduciaries, which means we're totally independent, unbiased, no conflicts of interest, no commissions. So the advice we're giving is literally, it's legally binding to be the best possible option for clients. We're always looking how to save people money, reduce their taxes, and help them grow their own financial life. And as a fiduciary, you know, we take a lot of pride in really just putting the client's best interest first at all times. That's how we build that reputation. If you look on Google and see the Google reviews, there's like 220 five-star reviews for Pacific Capital. It's because of that trust and that fiduciary advice and guidance that people rely on us for every day.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge point to touch on too. Whether it's personal branding, whether it's inside your business, whatever it is that you're doing as a specific entrepreneur, can you touch on how big trust is? I mean, because I know you've seen how big of an impact that's probably had on your business specifically, just being that non-biased individual or business and being able to look out for those people. And once they know you have their true best interests at heart, it's a game changer.
For sure. I mean, especially when it comes to money, trust 100%. Is number one. And so being able to do what you say you're going to do and do it on time or early, telling the clients how they can save money. Oftentimes we get referrals, and I will tell people that they don't need to hire us. They don't need a full-time investment advisor. So I'll tell them, like, I appreciate you coming to us and wanting us to manage your investments and stuff, but I don't think you need to pay for us. You don't need to hire us. You could actually do it a cheaper way by going this route. Your situation isn't complex enough to really need to hire an advisor. And people appreciate that. They never forget it. It happened one time where someone was referred to us. They really wanted us to manage their money. I just looked at their situation and said, this isn't complex enough to justify the cost. So here's what I think you should do, but don't worry about hiring us until maybe, you know, there's a lot more to work with. Don't hire anybody. Just keep it simple and inexpensive. And then eventually they inherited a significant amount of money from their parents and grandparents when the family money passed down. Who did they come to first?
Yeah.
Like, they came to us because we had already built that relationship of trust. They knew that we weren't just going to tell them something to, so we could make money off of them. Right. So I think that trust is the key component of a business relationship between our firm, Pacific Capital, and the people out there in the marketplace. I mean, that's what everything depends on, for sure.
Yeah. And I love that message. I mean, I really think as entrepreneurs, we shouldn't really be in it for chasing the next dollar. And some people, that's important. But I really think if you can do that at the same time you're building trust, because, man, it takes, sometimes we want a certain lifestyle, and sometimes it's going to take some money to get to the lifestyle that we want to live, or when you have a big family or whatever it is. But whether it's your goal to be wealthy or not, that's fine. Everybody has different goals. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, not chasing the next dollar, and just because there's a lot of businesses out there that will steer you in the wrong direction just because you're going to make a payment, or just because you're bringing some money to the table. And I think, and I love that you'll even look at it and say, hey, man, right now this is not the most complex thing that we typically work inside, and this is your best route. And for them to swing back around when they did get that money, man, that again, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And I would say it's transactions versus relationships. So if you want to build relationships, then you're going to tell people the truth. You're going to tell them the pros and the cons, the upside, the downside. If you're just trying to make quick transactions to make money for your business, and how it affects the people doesn't matter to you, you're eventually going to flame out. Like, for sure, you're going to burn out. You're going to burn bridges. Like, just do what's right for people and stay in your lane, and eventually the money's going to follow. Like, put the people on the purpose first and the money will follow. I promise that.
I love that, man. So you have a best-selling book, and you just pulled it out, I think, there for a second, for the Stress-Free Money, right?
And Clint, I'll tell you what, I have two best-selling books, actually. One of them came out just this...
Yeah, I was about to touch on it.
Yeah, there you go. So the first one is Stress-Free Money. The second one is Smart Not Spoiled. So tell me what you want to talk about.
That, you know, everybody obviously should check both books out, right? The Stress-Free Money. So I my bad on not seeing that you had two best-selling books, which that's a huge congratulation in itself. And the second one is Smart Not Spoiled, right? So can you tell us a bit more about why you wrote those two books and why it's important to have a healthy relationship with money from a young age, man? Because I got two little kids myself, and I think the earlier I can get them, you know, on understanding dollars and understanding that everything just doesn't fall from the tree, right? That it can be important and help them build that healthy relationship with money.
Yeah, I mean, the first book, Stress-Free Money, is really for entrepreneurs and families just trying to understand the money mindsets that produces more abundance, more success, more wealth. How to avoid the obstacles that most people run into that really puts them in a bad spot financially. The second book, Smart Not Spoiled, I really dive deep into the 7 money skills that kids must master before leaving the nest. So I wrote this because I'm a father of 5 kids. My wife and I care about families. I care about the financial literacy of young people. Smart Not Spoiled, why? Because 2/3 of American parents say that their kids are spoiled. You know, they expect so much more. They don't understand the value of a dollar. But I would say, to counter that, it's probably not their fault. The schools aren't teaching them about money.
Not at all.
and most families don't know where to start. So I wrote this book as a very useful and practical guide for parents, grandparents, mentors, teachers to really have like step-by-steps of what and how can I talk to kids about money to help them to be successful and more financially prepared for their future.
Man, I think that's a game changer because I talked to, I believe we had somebody on the podcast early on and we were talking about like, man, the school system. I mean, you can't really fault your parents for not knowing what they don't know, but also for them just staying in their lane because we're almost, it's almost like a machine, man. You know, you're born, you start going to school, you're in this education system that they have you boxed into. They're trying to predefine, you know, like, hey, we're going to be in the corporate world. So this is the predefined box we all operate in. Whether their parents pass that information on to them, whether they're wealthy or not, whether they're struggled or not. A lot of that stuff, they put blinders on. They work 9 to 5 because that's all they know, right? And they work well past, you know, retirement age in a lot of cases because, again, they don't know what they don't know. And then they're sitting there, they're seeing this individual succeed and they just don't seek out the information or even have the right headspace to even try to understand it, right? So again, I think from an early age, man, that is a game changer.
Agreed. No, and one of the chapters, the chapter called Learn to Earn, one of the 7 chapters, I talk about how to teach your kids to create value to earn money, how to teach kids entrepreneurship. I think that's extremely important. We don't need to, like you said, put kids in a box and just tell them that they've got to train to be like manufacturing robots and just be on an assembly line like back in the day. You've got to teach kids to really be thoughtful about money and maybe learn, what do I love to do? What am I good at? And can I make money? Excuse me. Can I make money doing it? If we could teach kids to put all those 3 components together, then they've got a great roadmap for success in their future.
I agree 100%. And when we talk about kids and from this angle and trying to get, so when you were younger, right, I'm sure you drew, brought pictures home that your parents didn't even know what they were, you know, you're coloring on this piece of paper, but we had a creative side when we were younger. Right? Like a huge creative side. We all wanted to be something. I want to be an astronaut. Right. I want to be a firefighter. I want to be something. But it's because something that at the time you're excited, you have an imagination when you're younger. But I think as we get older, man, the people that don't stay in touch with that creative side, we start phasing things out. And then some people just don't know how to get back there. But I think entrepreneurs actually don't lose that. They might not be in there coloring and doing all this other stuff, but in their mind, they know there's more. They know there's that creative side that's still deep down and they can kind of tap back into it where more people in the corporate side, I'm not saying people in the corporate side are blind, but at the end of the day, my wife, she's that 9 to 5 person and that's what she wants. Me, I'm like, absolutely not. You know, because I know serving in the military for 10 years, I know there's good leadership. And I know there's toxic leadership. And at the end of the day, man, when I was in charge of soldiers and troops and leading them into combat and everything like that, I had a lot of toxic leadership that really didn't care for that individual and really didn't care if they earned your trust as a human being or not. And I was like, man, dude, like when I get out, I'm not going to work for the man. I'm going to be the man. Right. And so when I got out, I was like, since then, I've just been doing my entrepreneurial journey embarked and I haven't looked back. And I just think when you take the power back into and believe in yourself, one, and don't listen to all the haters that are behind you left and right saying it's not going to work. I tried it. I did this. Right. It's like, dude, if you have a legit plan and you have something that like you can lay something out in a clear vision and you say, hell with everybody else, man, I'm going to make this happen no matter how many haters I have. You know, you can do it.
Right. And I think people appreciate working in that entrepreneurial environment, even when they're not the founder, president, the head entrepreneur. Like all of my team that I've hired have come, most of them, I think, have come from big corporations. So they've been in those big cubicle worlds where they've got everything pre-structured for them. Mm. And it's really like a tight corporate box, and now they have a lot more freedom. They have freedom to create, freedom to be innovative, freedom to come up with new ideas that we can implement very quickly as a boutique company versus a massive conglomerate global company. So I think just working in that entrepreneurial environment, you can really tap into those creative pieces of your brain without necessarily even being the sole leader entrepreneur. So it really impacts, what I'm saying is it really impacts everybody on the team.
100%. I agree 100% with that, my man. With all of this said, we've embarked on an entrepreneurial journey, right? We all have highs and lows along the way, but what has been the most difficult thing for you about being an entrepreneur along the way?
I think the biggest area that I've really learned and grown a lot in as an entrepreneur is knowing where to best allocate my time and my money. So figuring out what is the best use of my time and the best use of my money has been the learning process over the last 10 years that I could look back and say, that's where I've made the most growth. So I've learned making a list of things I'm not going to do is just as important as the things that I'm going to do. So learning what to delegate and outsource and hire other people for, or learning just to say no to opportunities that don't fit into what we're looking to accomplish. And then looking where I'm going to put my money. Where do I allocate investments? Where do I allocate the growth of the company? You know, who am I hiring? What roles are most important? I'd say those are the biggest challenging decisions that I've had to make over the years. And fortunately, I've learned a lot through mistakes and I've really grown and we've built an awesome team.
I love that, man. And I think, and you touched on it, delegation. I think a lot of us as entrepreneurs sometimes get bogged down and like we get in that foxhole by ourselves and we just continue because we're like, I created the process. I can do the process, you know, but man, you only could do so much in a given day or so much in a given week before you get burnt out yourself. And I've been in there when I started my entrepreneurial journey, man, I was like, I got this down. Like, I don't need to hire a VA. I don't need to hire this person that, you know, wants me to hire him. I'm good. I got this process down. And then it's like a year later, I'm like, bro, I don't want to do this no more. Like, what is going on? But as a leader too in the military, I understood the power of delegation. I was just being stubborn and arrogant at the time. Again, because you put those blinders on, you get it, you're going, you're making money. And it's like, dude, now I'm maxed out. I can't take on no more. Like I've overcommitted to clients now. Like I'm just like, dude, this is the struggle's real. And so once you realize that you have to let go, you have to pass these tasks down to people that can get it done and just have faith, right? Like I really think is like you get out there, you hire somebody. You don't just hire somebody blindly, but you actually make sure they can get, you know, accomplish the task that you put out. But you also got a lot of it's trial by fire too, right? And trial by error. You know, if they can't get it done, you're on to the next person. But in a lot of times it's also explaining them, okay, or at least laying out some SOPs and saying, this is how I accomplish it. Doesn't mean that you have to accomplish it like that. Cause one, I hate micromanaging anybody and I'm not going to do it. But two, I just give them a foundation and a starting point of this is what worked for me. You can take it or leave it. But if it doesn't work for you or if you want to incorporate that, run with it. If not, find your own way. As long as at the end of the day that I can, you know, I'm accountable and I'm the head of the business, that I can explain this to any of my clients or whatever, and we're all on the same page, I think it works, right?
Agreed. Yeah, you got to be able to let go to grow for sure. 100%. No doubt.
Dude, I love that right there. That's going to be let go to grow.
Let go to grow.
So, brother, as we wrap up this episode, if you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice or anything that they can take out of this episode and walk away with an action right away, what would it be?
The action is to get some specific financial goals on paper. That's step one. And with step one, get to a financial fiduciary. Find a financial fiduciary. There are plenty of us out there that you can find and meet with and counsel with and get some unbiased advice on your specific goals and on your actual financial situation. See what next steps you need to take to get you closer to that financial freedom, that stress-free money. And I know it's possible no matter where you're starting from. You just have to take the first steps.
Love it, man. I also go check out Stress-Free Money and Smart Not Spoiled. Go ahead and grab those books, man. I love it, brother.
Thank you.
But man, Chad, I think that's a wrap for this episode. And I want to thank you personally for taking the time of your day to joining us and adding value to what we're doing on our podcast, man.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. Thank you all so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Chad is working on, check out pacificcapital.com. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe to our podcast and don't forget to download our free ebook about the success mindset at thatentrepreneurlife.com. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs, and don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.